Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Attention. Data message rates apply. National contest. It's Unicorn Cash time on 92.9. Every hour, weekdays from 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. And right now.
That's right. It's time for your Unicorn Cash Code right here on the 9 o'clock hour on the Jeff Calkins Show. Text PIANO. P-I-A-N-O. Text PIANO. P-I-A-N-O to 72881. 72881. Text PIANO. You've got about an hour to text that cash code in, and then I'll give you another cash code at the start of the 10 o'clock hour as we continue Unicorn Cash 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. right here on 99 FM ESPN. One last time, text PIANO, P-I-A-N-O, P-I-A-N-O to 72881. Data message rates may apply. Again, keep listening 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. for your next chance to win. I'll give you another one before we get the second hour kicked off here at 10 a.m. Good luck.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing.
No, you ain't.
Ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shots and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I make you ugly. As soon as it drops, we're on a rampage. Bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in dust, 'cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, you better run, yeah. I predict an earthquake.
Happy Tuesday, and we have some breaking news, Jeffrey. Do we have the breaking news? Tom Bowen has stepped down as the athletic director at the University of Memphis, according to a release by the university. Here's what it says. Memphis Athletic Director Tom Bowen has stepped down, and lifelong Tiger and distinguished Memphian Allie Prescott has been named Interim Athletic Director. U of M President M. David Rudd announced Tuesday. Bowen's 7 years as Athletic Director saw growth in facilities, fundraising, success on and off the playing field, et cetera, et cetera. David Rudd, I greatly appreciate Tom's service in leading the athletic department, said Rudd. We have been successful both in the classroom and on the playing field and have grown significantly under Tom's leadership. I wish Tom the best of luck in the future. I have made the decision to step down as director of athletics to pursue a new career opportunity, said Bowen. I know that the athletic program here at the University of Memphis will continue to achieve great success both in the classroom and on the fields and courts of competition. It has been my privilege to serve this university, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. On Allie Prescott, Rudd says, Allie Prescott is quintessential Memphis. Growing up as a Tiger, he has played a pivotal role in supporting the University of Memphis and the city of Memphis in his lifetime. Allie is the perfect person to lead Memphis athletics in this transitional period. His diverse leadership background will help us continue the momentum as University of Memphis. As University of Memphis athletics continues its quest for preeminence. So there you go. Sorry, I was just tweeting.
It's a multitasking day here, Jeff.
So that is the news of the day. Well, that is some of the news of the day. I'll tell you how we were going to start. We were going to start with this. We were going to start with Boogie, baby. And instead, we got breaking news, literally, at the very top of the show. Breaking news. So the good news is that Gary Parrish is going to join us in the next segment so we can talk to Gary about all of this. We'll also have Chris. Oh, by the way, it's also a lot of Zion Williamson Day. We got all the sound effects. It's Zion Williamson Day. It is Boogie Celebration Day, and it's Tom Bowen is out day. So, I guess we better address the Tom Bowen thing first, right?
That probably seems appropriate since it's literally the freshest.
Yeah, since it's literally the freshest. Holy smokes. Let me just check here. One second. I have to look at this thing again.
The statement?
Yeah.
The press release?
Yep.
Would it make you feel better to hear some Earth, Wind, and Fire while you look for it?
Yes, please do. Put on the Earth, Wind, and Fire. Hold on one second.
Not to be in a good mood with this.
Okay. This is what's happening. Literally, there's breaking news here, and I'm like texting everybody. I apologize for multitasking here, but this is what happens when this happens. Tom Bowen is stepping down. And what do we make of that? Well, a few things. Let's start with the job he did, okay?
Yep.
I think he did a pretty damn good job here. Looking at the entire record. He came in here at a time, replaced R.C. Johnson, and it was a disaster, an administrative disaster. And he took a fire hose to the thing. And he cleaned it up, and he brought in good people. And they were a much more efficient athletic department. And so that is an underrated part of what he did. The second thing is he emphasized football, and he cared about football. Now, he doesn't get full credit for football because Justin Fuente was a hire that was made before he got here. So he doesn't get full credit for the Justin Fuente hire necessarily. He doesn't. He get any credit for the Justin Fuente hire, and Justin Fuente was instrumental in advancing the football program. But Tom Bowen was too. If you talk to Tom Bowen, he could tell you the depth chart of everything. He knew the depth chart of all the, you know, he knew who was the second team guard, and at a place where football had not mattered. That mattered, and so that is significant too. And then the facilities. You look at the facilities. It was, listen, the football practice facility has been a long time in coming. but the basketball facility happened under his watch. A lot of other new facilities under his watch, and I can tell you he really did also care about Olympic sports. So all those are to his credit. He was instrumental in the hire of Tubby Smith. That would be a knock against him. The Josh Pastner contract, that would be a knock against him. But the underlying issue here, too, is it has been an open secret that he and David Rudd are not always on the same page. That has not exactly been a shocker for people. And I think people have, listen, we know Tom Bowen has been looking for jobs for a couple of years now, right? And it has honestly been a, anyone will tell you, a weird relationship. Do I think Tom Bowen wanted to fire Tubby Smith? No. Do I think Tom Bowen is a huge fan of the way Penny Hardaway runs things? No. Did he want Larry Brown to be the assistant coach? Absolutely not. And so it has been, like folks will tell you this, it's just been sort of a, David Rudd did the right thing in getting rid of Tubby and hiring Penny. But I don't think, I'll put it this way. I don't think Tom Bowen thought he was running the athletic department. The question is, what the heck is this about? Isn't this a little sudden, Jeffrey, don't you think?
The timing definitely struck me as odd. If you would have told me in the year 2019 that Tom Bowen would no longer be the athletic director of the University of Memphis, I wouldn't have been surprised. But the timing of today did strike me as odd. Is that a fair statement to make?
Well, here's the thing. If you're just going to, first of all, why do you step down to pursue other opportunities? He had a $400,000 a year job.
Yeah, the only time you step down to pursue other opportunities is if you got other job offers already, and that does not appear to be the case, at least from my conversation.
And then the other question is unless you're going immediately to another job, why do you step down immediately such that you need an interim? Don't people say, I'm stepping down, effective, blah, 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 there will be a smooth transition, et cetera?
Yes, that's usually the way this goes, particularly in athletics, in college athletics.
Yeah, you don't, like, look at RC. RC was here waiting for Tom Bowen, and what happened? So
Pete Boone, when he was at Ole Miss, he announced that he had an effective date that he was stepping down, and then they actually had a period where no one was the athletic director, and then they made the hire for Ross Bjork.
It's not done like this, unless there is a specific job that he has in mind. Then it is done like this. It makes me think, and I'm literally, if I sound like a conspiracy theorist, by all means,
tinfoil hats on,
let me know. But it strikes me that something precipitated this. That would be my suggestion.
Yes, because even if you were leaving to play out your scenario, even if you were leaving to pursue another job, you're not going to leave a job you have without the offer. No one's going to sit there and say, hey, we really want to hire you, but you got to resign from your other job effective immediately while we go through this interview process. No one's going to do that.
What do they tell you the best way to get a job is?
Have a job currently.
The best way to get a job is to have a job. So, okay. So there will be a press conference evidently at 11. And so I am going to be very clearly leaving this show early to go to the press conference, and maybe we'll learn more. But it is certainly a bombshell. Okay, I'll be honest. It's not a complete bombshell to me.
I think the fact that it was today in this manner, that is.
Yeah, in the midst of recruiting?
Correct.
Like why? Yes.
It's the news itself that Tom Bowen is stepping down.
The news that Tom Bowen is no longer and Memphis are parting ways. That's not a bombshell at all.
Correct.
Everyone knew that this day was coming, right?
Yes.
So that is not a bombshell at all. What's a bombshell is that He is stepping down effective immediately, it seems like, because Allie Prescott is stepping in. He's stepping down in the midst of recruiting season, which won't affect the recruiting, by the way. That doesn't affect the recruiting. But it's still like it doesn't convey a sense of stability at the time of recruiting, right? And that he's stepping down, yes, without some – that he's not saying, I'm leaving in August, or he's not identifying the – whatever. Like nothing else. We don't know he's
correct,
up for
that
another
he didn't
job.
Have some definite date of I will be stepping down effective August 31st.
It appears to me that there was some precipitating event. Doesn't it appear to you that there was some precipitating event?
If I were a betting man, and you know I am, I would bet heavily on that.
Okay. Let's look at the good news. Again, this story is just starting to unfold. I have a quick column up because, I had heard this was coming. I didn't hear it well enough to break it, but I knew this was coming. And so I banged out some quick thoughts last night, and I have put them up. Just in the response to, let's just say, rumors. Rumors were out there that this was coming. And we have a story up at the Daily Memphian about it, which you can go read. We will see how this unfolds. If there is some precipitating event, I expect it will come out. I don't know what it would be. It could be anything. Could be he got disgusted with David Rudd. It could be he did some misdeeds. It could be that he won the lottery when we weren't aware of it, right?
Could be, and in fairness to him,
it could be that he's just tired of it.
I would say, I know there was a day when I was in sales that I woke up and I just said, I can't do this anymore.
Right.
And I'm not saying that reflects.
Let me ask you this. Will he be at the press conference?
Seems unlikely, right?
Tommy West, if you have a farewell press conference, when he was fired. If you're stepping down, when Pete Boone stepped down, did he have press availabilities after he announced he was stepping down?
Yes, but in fairness, for all the knocks against Pete Boone.
Didn't R.C. Johnson have a, like,
making
R.C. Johnson
himself
was
available is not one of them.
Right. You don't make yourself available if you're fired. If you're stepping down just because then you say, what a great time it's been at the University of Memphis, I'm leaving it in good hands, right?
Correct, but every single one of those announcements that you mentioned were announcements of, I will be resigning effective this day. And it was a future date.
Let me see what this, let me see what it says again. Let's scrutinize.
Let's do what we do best.
No, let's analyze once again what it says. Does it say, has stepped down?
Yes.
It's done.
It's done. It's effective.
That's weird.
Super weird.
That is weird.
That's why you asked me. My gut instinct is no, he will not
has
be
has stepped down.
Because that's already
he
effective.
He will not be here. Something happened. I don't know on whose watch or what or whatever else, but has stepped down. Something happened. You don't. And let's be honest, here's the other thing they did. This is the other wacky thing, is that remember, like, just in March, they extended his contract by 6 months?
Correct.
That was weird. What they said was, they're extending the contract because we need to know how much we're going to get in the conference TV contract before we do that, which is, with all due respect, poppycock.
That was a very, how best to phrase it, that was a convenient fact to throw in at the moment that had absolutely nothing to do with it.
Yes, that had nothing to do with it. So what a wild story. Okay, I am going to take a break here, if you can. Let's do this.
You
let's
need a play, reset button.
I'm gonna make a phone call or two.
Okay.
We're gonna have a reset button. Can we play a little boogie music here for the people? They want to be uplifted. This was supposed to be a whole boogie celebration show. Can we have a boogie music? Thank you.
Past the city limit sign, where there's a honky-tonk near the county line.
What's the interesting thing about this is that
we had a whole show planned.
Well, we also they got whiskey, we have some music and smoke. It's where all the cowboy folks. We have some we've got some boogie.
Oh yeah.
And now we have someone scooting.
We did.
We have something scoop.
And best I can tell, Boogie's
and
quite good at scooting.
A Boogie. We will be back in a moment with more on this story, and we'll talk to GP, too. That's the Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This is firefighter Raphael Poirier for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side, like the awesome five cheese mac and cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.
Thompson Machinery is committed to helping you get the job done fast and efficient, helping to grow your business. That's why we're offering 0% financing for 48 months when you buy a new Cat compact track loader, skid steer loader, mini excavator, backhoe, and more. No matter if you're looking to buy or rent, we've got the right solution to fit your job site needs. Pick up your Cat machine today or visit us at tmcat.com/bigtimesupport. Thompson Machinery, your local Cat dealer.
JJ Hottail here. As an ex-professional race car driver, I'm used to taking risks, which isn't always so good when it comes to driving off the track.
Uh-oh.
But that's why I'm insured by Direct Auto and Life Insurance. I can get a great rate regardless of my driving history. They understand that nobody's perfect. Hello, officer. Save up to 25% with discounts at Direct Auto. Stop by a Direct Auto location, call 1-877-GO-DIRECT, or visit directgeneral.com today.
Direct General Group, Nashville. Rates vary. Discounts subject to limitations, terms, and conditions. How you buy impacts cost.
Want to get your yard looking better than ever with brand names such as Echo, Steel, Honda? Whether it's chainsaws, lawnmowers, blowers, Germantown Hardware and Paint has everything you need to get the job done right this spring.
That's right. Germantown Hardware and Paint is the only real hardware store in the Mid-South. Now's the time to get those flowers and plants in the ground. They're family-owned and operated by the Wagners since 2001 with a staff that knows the store with the best knowledge and customer service. They're located at Poplar and Germantown Parkway or on the web, germantownhardware.com.
Oh, hi, Amy. What brings you to the Xfinity store today?
Do the hokey pokey and sing me something.
No.
Eat some spaghetti.
What?
Do the worm.
Why would I do that?
Well, I hear Xfinity gives me control.
Oh, yeah. Over your in-home Wi-Fi. You can see who's online, you can pause it, you can set a curfew for your kids.
Wait, so I don't have control over everything?
No.
So that guy outside that I just made wash my car?
It looks like he's getting inside.
I gotta go.
Take control of your Wi-Fi with Xfinity XFi. That's simple, easy, awesome. Get started with Xfinity Internet and TV for just $40 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement. Plus, upgrade to get more than double the speed for just $5 more a month for 12 months. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today to learn more. Requires EcoBill and AutoPay, and 62119. Restrictions apply. New basic TV and performance starter 25 megabits per second Internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees, including BTV fee extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary.
There's nothing like meeting face-to-face, and there's nothing like Zoom to make that happen. Zoom lets you connect and do business across town or around the world. Zoom ties together all of your communication needs into one easy platform for video conferencing, phone calls, group chat, webinars, and your conference rooms. Connect easily from anywhere, your mobile phone, your laptop, or conference room. Zoom is how business gets done. Get your free account at Zoom.com today. Meet happy with Zoom.
At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you'll not only get better parts at better prices, you'll also get friendly and knowledgeable parts professionals. From replacement parts to tools and accessories, O'Reilly will help you get the parts you need and the great service you deserve. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's Unicorn Cash on 92.9 FM ESPN. Don't get too horny.
Yeah!
Memphis has unicorn players. 92.9 has Unicorn Cash. Listen at the top of the hour weekdays for your chance to win a unicorn grand. Because these unicorns shit money.
Yo, no way.
Win $1,000 an hour. Every single weekday from 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. It's Unicorn Cash. You know it. 92.9 FM ESPN. Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show on a hell of a morning. Got GP on the line, I believe. Gary Parrish is the national basketball columnist for CBSSports.com. He is also an Emmy-winning television personality, multiple Emmy-winning television personality, rising star in the field of meteorology, and an expert on AD transition. And he joins us now. GP, what say you about this latest news that I take it you've seen it, that Tom Bowen has resigned?
Yeah, I think you've got it said correctly that he, the idea that Tom Bowen is no longer the athletic director at Memphis is not surprising. I think it's been headed this direction for a while. It's been well documented how often Tom has pursued other jobs in an attempt to leave Memphis for whatever his reasons would be, and he's just never landed the job. Obviously, now he's leaving Memphis. Presumably without the guarantee of a next job. There's no report anywhere that says he's going to be an athletic director somewhere else or is even under consideration to be an athletic director somewhere else. So it's abrupt in that regard and also a little strange because, as you point out, typically if an athletic director is going to step down, it is – eventually step down in November 2019, step down in 3 months to resign and be gone when you were the athletic director just yesterday. That's not normally the way these things go.
So what in the world, like what, listen, let's say a couple things that we absolutely know. One is, we absolutely know that Tom Bowen and David Rudd did not get along. Do you know that, right? Do you not? We all know that, right?
I know that they have denied that. I never believed.
You're exactly right. That's right. That they always deny it. But yes, everyone over there talks about.
They always deny it, but everybody who works with them confirms it.
That's exactly right. and let's be honest, off the record, they also, they didn't get along. I don't know that they always didn't get along, but they have lately not gotten along, right? And whatever the complaints of either side may be, I don't really know, whatever. Among other things, I really don't think Tom Bowen liked the Penny thing. I mean, they didn't get along before that, but I don't think Tom Bowen liked the Penny thing, do you? The Tubbies to Penny transition. That was very clearly driven by David Rudd. Yes?
100%. I don't believe Tom Bowen would have fired Tubby Smith if left up to him, and I don't believe Tom Bowen would have hired Penny Hardaway if left up to him. I think on some level he was okay with it once it happened, because how could you not be okay with it once it happened, given all of the good things that have happened since? But no, the way that went down was not the way it would have gone down if Tom Bowen was the primary decision maker.
And we also know that he is, desperate's a little strong, but aggressively been looking for other jobs. Sun Belt commissioner he was involved in, Boston College he wanted to get involved in, Florida State he wanted to get involved in. Was it USC? No, Cal Berkeley. He wanted to get involved in. There was another one that I think he was down to one of the last three in. This is no secret. I guess and now this is just, I don't know, is it irresponsible speculation? Here you go, Gary. I'm going to speculate. I'm going to tell you the reasons that this could have happened the way it happens. I'm going to throw out some possible reasons that could have happened like this, okay? One, he just got fed up with it and said, "It's enough is enough, right? I'm done with this job, etc." That's one. Two, he actually has another opportunity job that lined up that he's not prepared to announce, right? And so there's nothing complicated about this at all except for what it says, okay? Three, something happened. And I'm not alleging this at all. I'm just going through the possibilities, right? Either administratively or whatever, that reflected badly on him, and so he decided to step down graciously. Four, he was actually fired, and they said, "Why don't we put it as a step down?" I don't know. Can you think of any others?
No, I think it probably falls under one of those umbrellas. And, you know, I don't think it's just he woke up today and said enough's enough. But I do know people who have done that, who have just decided, you know what, I don't know what my next move is. I know I'm not here anymore. I don't think that's what he did.
Let me familiarize you with Eric Hasseltine.
Yes, right.
even Eric gave him a week, though, or 2 weeks. Like, how long did Eric? How long was Eric there?
So he was longer than I would have been if I were Eric Hasseltine.
He just decided. No, what I mean is, Eric just decided he didn't want this life anymore. He didn't want to come in and do a 2-hour show anymore, right? And so maybe Tom. That's what I'm saying. You can wake up one day and say enough is enough, right? That's possible.
Sure. Or
in fairness, Eric has a daughter in Sacramento. I mean, you know what I mean.
Are you saying that Tom Bowen has a daughter in Sacramento?
No, I'm saying
that
Eric
would be a bombshell.
I'm saying Eric liked having an off season, right, so he could go visit his daughter.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is he did it for a long time, and then he says this life is not what I want anymore. Right? There was nothing precipitating. It was just you wake up one day and you say I don't want this anymore. Go ahead, Gary. I'm sorry. Did you hear that Tom Bowen has a daughter in Sacramento?
I don't know anything about Tom Bowen's family situation.
I'm just kidding. He doesn't. Yeah, go ahead.
I will say that you were wondering earlier if he would be at the press conference today. I got a text message from somebody who said he's sitting in the Delta Sky Club with me right now at the airport.
Yeah. Like he's on a plane. I just got the same text. He's on a plane. Yeah,
right.
He's not going to be at the press conference. I knew he was not going to be at the press conference. You don't do this and then have him at the press. This is not that kind of a thing. R.C. Johnson.
Well, so what it means is it's not a typical resignation in the normal sense. Like when R.C. Johnson resigned, doesn't he have a press conference before he leaves?
Oh, he was around for forever before he left. Yes.
Right.
He hired another. Yes.
The only reason for an athletic director not to have some sort of formal goodbye or you know, some sort of period of time where they transition out of the job is if this went down in a way that wasn't amicable. You know, it seems pretty clear, even if you were pursuing another career opportunity, like you'd still say goodbye. John Calipari once pursued another career opportunity. It was Kentucky. He still came back to Memphis and spoke, you know. And
if it's amicable, you say goodbye. Yeah, if it's amicable, you say, oh, I really love my time at the University of Memphis. Now, some don't. Like, football coaches sometimes do it from the new place. You know, they don't. I don't know that Jimbo Fisher had a press conference in Tallahassee. He probably didn't, right? But ADs are different. They, you know.
I would have a hard time trying to find the last athletic director who was at a school for an extended period of time and resigned simply because he was pursuing another career opportunity without holding some sort of press conference to say goodbye and have people say nice things about him. I don't want to speculate too wildly, but what I can tell you is that this is not normal. This is not simply Tom Bowen deciding to pursue another career opportunity, because I can't think of another athletic director situation that when somebody pursues another career opportunity, it goes down the way this is going down.
We also don't know, like, let me ask you this. Is he getting money? That would tell you something too, wouldn't it? Is there a settlement involved? Is he just literally stepping away from a $400,000 salary?
I mean, I don't think I would do that, but, yeah, it's not, again, not normally the way things go. I would again, it's all speculation at this point, but if they really wanted him out, if they really wanted him out, there ain't no way I'm leaving without getting paid. You know, you're going to have to pay me to make me go away. So I would assume, unless he's actually leaving for another job, I would assume that he's being paid to go away.
I guess. Here's the question. Okay. On top of all this, by the way, for anyone who wonders, a few weeks ago, we broke the story that Jeff Crane was being hired from South Carolina to be the new Mark Allnutt, the new deputy AD. He is still going to be the deputy AD, for anyone who's wondering, like, whatever happened to that Jeff Crane news? Like, He is transitioning with his family and all to Memphis, and he will still be the deputy AD. Allie will be the interim AD, and Jeff Crane will still be the deputy. Will he be in consideration for the athletic director job as they do the proverbial national search? I do not know, but he will still be on board, in case anyone is wondering about that. I know that for a fact. Let me ask you this. Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? Does this not matter?
I think if you want me to spin it into a good thing, and that does it, I'm not trying to imply it's a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing.
I don't want you to spin it either way. I want you to tell me what you think.
I think it can be a good thing. I don't think having a president who is heavily involved in sports and an athletic director who those two people who don't see eye to eye on big picture things and maybe just have different approaches to everything. I don't think that's a good thing. And so whether you think Tom Bowen's the best or the worst or Dr. Rudd's the best or the worst, I think we can agree that having those two people in those two jobs, if they don't see eye to eye on the direction of the athletic department, that's not ideal. And so I would say this is a good thing, but you need to make a good hire, because say what you want about Tom Bowen and his, people skills and other deficiencies that he might have had. He did clean up that athletic department in a variety of ways. He did help football get to a respectable place, and that's not nothing. There are worse athletic directors than Tom Bowen, even if Tom Bowen might not have been the best in every way.
I think it's good. Yes. I think Tom Bowen had real strengths. And the real strengths were, I think he was administratively efficient. I think he really was devoted to football and making football a better program. He attracted good people. I think he had real strengths. I think you're exactly right, though. It is not healthy to have a dysfunctional relationship between the president and the athletic director, however you slice it. And anyone except for the two of them will tell you there was a dysfunctional relationship between the president and the athletic director.
So, well, my understanding is that they disagreed on Tubby Smith. Now, obviously, Dr. Rudd signed off on it on the end, so he has to own that.
And let's be glad. Oh, yes, right.
Both
on the front, yes.
My understanding is that Tom Bowen wanted to hire Tubby Smith. Dr. Rudd was not enthused, but ultimately signed off on it. But they didn't see eye to eye there. Then when it came time to fire Tubby Smith, that was motivated by Dr. Rudd. Tom Bowen didn't want to do that.
Thank God for Dr. Rudd.
Right.
Whatever mistakes Dr. Rudd may have made, thank God for Dr. Rudd.
Well, he fixed it. You know, whatever mistake he made, he fixed it. But my point is, if we're talking about the three biggest decisions in that athletic department in recent years, hiring Tubby Smith, firing Tubby Smith, hiring Penny Hardaway, I think you can reasonably say that Tom Bowen and Dr. Rudd did not agree on any of those things.
So best to have folks who work hand in hand. I think that's true. I mean that as no disrespect to Tom Bowen, because I don't think now here's the other thing. When's the last time you saw Tom Bowen out and about or speaking or anything like public?
I don't have any recollection of it.
He disappeared.
He disappeared like he had no radio presence at all, very little media presence at all. I think still to this day, I never had Tom Bowen on my radio show.
I used to have lunch with him occasionally. And the truth of the matter is he's a good guy.
I had lunch with him once, I think right before Tubby's second year, and it was perfectly pleasant, and we had a great conversation. I exited that conversation I think I told you this, going, oh, my God, they really don't know. He really does not understand how bad his basketball program is.
Yeah, this was during the Tubby Smith era. You had that lunch with him, right?
Yeah, and I walked out of there. Like, we had an incredible conversation. Like, I liked the guy, like, you know, on a personal level. He was great. But I walked out of that lunch going, he does not properly understand where his basketball program is at and where it's headed. In other words, I walked out of that going, when I do a typical radio show that's focused on the disaster that is Tubby Smith, I know Dr. Rudd sitting in his office listening, nodding his head in agreement, and if Tom Bowen is sitting in his office listening, he's shaking his head in disagreement. And that was concerning to me. But ultimately, it didn't matter because Rudd just, you know, power played. Right.
Yeah, and like whatever you say about, quote-unquote, meddling Dr. Rudd, thank God he meddled on that one. And it's not meddling when the university president and you're losing vast amounts of money. That's not meddling. That's not called meddling. That's called saving their ass. Okay, before I get to recruiting, because I do want to still talk about that a little bit, do you have any sense as to how important, I mean, you see athletic departments all over the world, right? I mean, you're all over the country. How important is an AD? Like an AD, you get the sense they're a little bit like offensive linemen, right? You don't want to notice them particularly. There are some who've been high profile. Jeremy Foley was high profile, although, honestly, he made some mistakes. Sure. And what's his name? It was the guy at LSU, Jeffrey? Who's the dude?
Joe Oliva.
Joe Oliva was sort of high profile for making a lot of mistakes, right? He was sort of the offensive tackle who was constantly being flagged for holding.
Exactly. And to your point, you don't want to notice him.
You don't
want
to notice him. But I actually
let me stop you there for a minute. Yeah. Just to circle back, even with Joe Oliva, who quite clearly was pushed out, like they wanted him gone, he's still like there was a transitional period. You know, there was still like it wasn't like Joe Oliva resigned this morning and is done with the job. Which, again, just sort of underlines this is, if nothing else, it's unusual.
They reassigned him in the athletic department. Like, he's now some type of special representative for the university for alumni relations, something along those lines.
And my understanding, by the way, is this was going to be done this week, and then because it started to leak out, they slid it up to today because they wanted to make the announcement. So, anyway, and then Tom gets on a plane and leaves town. Okay, yeah, but so how important – on the one hand, like, whatever, if you got a great coach, who cares? On the other hand, you hear, like, at Virginia Tech, like, people love that AD, and they set the tone for what's to happen at the university. Tom Jurich, whatever you thought of him at Louisville and the way it ended, he transformed the athletic – the AD is probably the most significant person in the history of that university and what they have become. How important is an AD?
I think very important. You know, the AD at Virginia Tech he references Whip Babcock, and I think he's one of the brightest young athletic directors in the country, if not the brightest, because he understands where he works. He understands what his high-profile coaches need to be successful, and he's got incredible people skills and media skills. And I think all of that is very, very important to try to do that job in this era effectively. You know, people think of an athletic director as somebody who hires and fires coaches. It's much more than that. It's basically a fundraising job these days. You've got to have incredible relationships with the people who can help you do the things with your athletic department that you want to do. And though I agree with you, Tom Bowen has some undeniable strengths. One of my understanding is that one of the weaknesses was that he didn't have great relationships with all of the money people in Memphis that he needed to have great relationships with. Like, to the extent the money people are back on board, I think that's got more to do with Penny Hardaway and the enthusiasm surrounding that program than anything else. And so I think you need to check a lot of boxes as an athletic director. You need to understand where you work, understand the landscape, see the future, and where college athletics is going. But I think having, you know, being media savvy and having great relationships, people skills. Like, I would not be a good athletic director because I don't like asking people for money. same reason I'd be a terrible salesperson. I'm uncomfortable asking people for things, but that is a big part of the job. And if you're going to be great at that job, I think it has to go hand in hand with, you know, just being a good talker, just being a good smoother, just being somebody who has incredible people skills. And if you can find a guy that, or a girl, woman, who checks all of those boxes, that is usually the you know, qualities that an athletic director, a successful one's going to have.
Tom Bowen did not have that. Let's be honest. Like, Tom, by the way, I'm reminded, and I think you should express some gratitude here. Tom Bowen hosted your radio show.
Oh, that's true. So he was never on my radio show
except when I was on
my radio show.
Not only was he on it, he saved your ass when you were off vacation. Where were you? You were off lollygagging. Tom Bowen was in here working his ass off. And hosted your radio show.
That is true. My apologies to Tom Bowen, and also special shouts to Rudy Gay, who also hosted the Gary Perry Show.
That's hilarious. he wasn't warm and fuzzy. He just wasn't. He was always he just was not warm and fuzzy. He was warm and fuzzy personally. If you got to sit and go to lunch with him.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
When you're right in front of him, he's actually very, very good, but you wouldn't be right in front of him that often. And I know this sometimes works, two-way street. You know, every once in a while I'll have a college basketball coach say, I hadn't heard from you in a while. And I'll be like, I hadn't heard from you in a while. You know, like, you got my number just as easy as I got yours. And so I get that. But, again, I've heard, you know, I'm friends with some of the relevant boosters, connected to that university. And too many of them would tell me the only time I hear from Tom Bowen is when he needs me to write him another check. And I think that is a shortcoming. You know, if you want me to equate it to our jobs, one of the things I tried to do, and this is more true when I was an actual reporter as opposed to a talking head that I become, but I never wanted to call somebody for the first time in a long time when I actually needed them. I wanted to be able to say, I'm not just calling you because I need something. I also called you 2 weeks ago when I needed absolutely nothing. Tom, I was told by too many money people, we wouldn't hear from him for no reason. We would only hear from him when he absolutely needed us. And again, we're nitpicking here a little bit, but I think that's something, that's part of the athletic director's job.
Okay. Well, we'll see. This does not, in terms of the immediate stories of the day, I mean, it doesn't, obviously, we'll learn more. And by the way, Allie's great. Like, Allie, of course, the story about Allie is he was supposed to get the AD's job before R.C. Johnson. They had formed a search committee that decided Allie was the guy. And then V. Lane Rollins, who was the president of the university at the time, said, yeah, I don't like that pick. And he tossed out the results of the search committee and went and found R.C. Johnson. And that was stupid. let's be clear. That was really stupid. And Allie would have, in a way, it's sort of sweet that Allie Prescott, and he's an ultimate Memphis guy, obviously played baseball at Memphis, helped with the Red Launcher, the Redbirds, has been MIFA and whatever else, is a quintessential Memphian, and I think is perfect to lead the program on an interim basis. All right. In the meantime, Boogie Ellis seems to be coming to Memphis. That is a very good thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's three commitments from three high-level prospects in a four-day span for Memphis. First on Friday, Lester Quinones, a top 50 guard who turned down Indiana to play at Memphis. On Saturday, Rajon Tucker, arguably the best graduate transfer available, you know, a legitimate NBA prospect who turned down, you know, high-level programs, Kansas among them, to go to the University of Memphis. And then yesterday, Boogie Ellis, somebody who was good enough to go to Duke because Duke offered him and he accepted once upon a time, turned down various offers to commit to the University of Memphis. And so, you know, the Tigers now have a recruiting class where they've got two guys who were set to go to – two guys, at the very least, who were good enough to go to Kentucky, James Wiseman and D.J. Jeffries. They've got another guy who was good enough to go to Duke. That's Boogie Ellis. They got another guy who was good enough to go to Kansas. That's Rajon Tucker. And I was saying this weeks ago, and some people were rolling their eyes, not locally, because I think most people here understand, but certainly nationally there was some pushback. But, you know, with or without Precious Achiuwa, and obviously better with him than without, but Penny Hardaway is going to have one of the most talented rosters in America next season. And I can't promise you it's going to translate into an AAC regular season title or Final Four national championship, but I can promise you that he'll have the pieces to reasonably make a run at any of those things.
Okay, in the meantime, on other news, there were all kinds of scuttlebutt last night that R.J. Hampton had removed Memphis from his list. I'm told it's almost academic. In other words, he may or may not leave him on his list or not, but they're not getting R.J. Hampton. Like, it doesn't appear that they're getting R.J. Hampton. I think people can give up on R.J. Hampton. Does that sound reasonable to you?
Yeah, and it also, you know, is evidence that when the father last week was like, or 2 weeks ago, whenever Boogie Ellis got his release from Duke, was like, oh, Boogie and R.J. could play together. He didn't mean that. Because it was just, I don't want to say it was a lie, but it wasn't the truth. Because it appears Boogie Ellis is the thing that triggers R.J. Hampton essentially removing Memphis from consideration. Now, I was somebody who actually thought R.J. Hampton and Boogie Ellis could play together, because I'm not sure either of them is a traditional primary point guard. You could certainly play them together and put Rajon Tucker or Lester Quinones right there beside them. You know, considering Quinones and Tucker, both 6'5" guards, you can be 6'5" wings, especially in the American Athletic Conference. I mean, Villanova has played those three-guard lineups for years and obviously been very successful with them. And so there's a whole bunch of combinations, but I was not somebody who thought you could only have one, Boogie Ellis or R.J. Hampton. But it appears R.J. Hampton is somebody who believes that. R.J. Hampton's father is somebody who believes that. And so, you know, that's all that matters. But I think in a vacuum, you'd rather have R.J. Hampton than Boogie Ellis, because he is the better prospect, according to literally everybody. But I don't think you wait on R.J. Hampton if Boogie Ellis is ready to come. Even if you know taking Boogie Ellis is going to cost you R.J. Hampton, if you've got Boogie Ellis and you're still fighting with, you know, Kansas and Kentucky for R.J. Hampton, I'd just go ahead and take Boogie Ellis, try to get Precious Achiuwa, and call it a day.
Okay, and then the other thing is that the Precious Achiuwa, you mentioned Precious Achiuwa, that stuff's all over the place now. There are, like, I don't follow crystal balls. I'm not very good at crystal balls. But I'm told that Brooks Hansen, who writes about this for 247 Sports, his crystal ball last night went back and forth and back again. Like, and there's been some thought that Precious may well go to Kansas. Let's just pretend. Like, right now, we're all giddy. Like, anyone that Memphis wants, they get it, apparently. Like, that's the new rule. New rule. Everyone Memphis, what Penny wants, they get. Let's say they don't get Precious Achiuwa, okay? How big a blow is that?
Big in the sense that it takes a lot of stuff off the table. You know, if they got Precious Achiuwa, they would enter next season as the only team in the country with two top 10 prospects, according to the top 24/7 over at 24/7 Sports. They would be the only program with two top 10 guys from the class of 2019. Kentucky's close, but Tyrese Maxey, one of Kentucky's commitments, is just outside of the top 10. Like, I think he's actually 11. So again, if you draw the line there, and I'm drawing it to make a point, obviously, but it doesn't mean that Memphis's class is better than Kentucky's, but it does mean what I'm saying, that Memphis would be the only program with two top 10s, according to the top 247. Without Precious Achiuwa, that's not true. Right now, if you go to Jonathan Givony's 2020 mock draft at ESPN.com, if Memphis were to land Precious Achiuwa, Memphis would be the only team in the country with two projected top 10 picks, again, according to Jonathan Givony. Without Precious Achiuwa, that's not true. And then, of course, you know, from a just obvious perspective, he's a pro. I mean, he's a projected top 10 pick, one-and-done guy. If you remove him from the lineup and insert DJ Jeffries into that spot, you're still very good. I think still a preseason top 10 team, but it's not the same. You know, I think with Precious Achiuwa, they're going to be a preseason top 4, 5, or 6 team. Without him, they slip a bit. They're not as talented. But right now, with the roster they've already got in place, you can throw out a starting lineup of Boogie Ellis, Lester Quinones, Rajon Tucker, DJ Jeffries, and James Wiseman. And if I would have told you in, you know, like October, that is what you're going to have to start the 2019-20 season, you'd have been doing backflips. Now that you're seemingly so close with Precious Achiuwa, if you don't get him, it will be disappointing. But big picture, Memphis is still set up. Penny is still set up to have, you know, one of the deepest and most talented teams in the country.
Yeah, it'll be disappointing because he's Precious Achiuwa and he's a pro, but you are very well set to without him, let's be honest. And I mean, we talked about it yesterday on your show, that if DJ would not have necessarily – DJ didn't expect to be coming off the bench behind Precious Achiuwa, right? And so – and DJ is perfectly worthy of starting on a very good team. And so I'm not saying it clears it up in a good way, because you'd rather have Precious Achiuwa, but they are certainly well-positioned if he doesn't choose Memphis – to withstand the blow. Here's the other little twist, though. What if Rajon Tucker gets offered a deal and
right. He's
not taking his name out of the draft, right? What if he decides to go?
Well, that's obviously a big blow, because there are basketball people who think, James Wiseman would be Memphis' most talented player, and if Precious Achiuwa were on the roster, he'd be right there behind him. But in terms of who's going to be a great college basketball player next season, you could make an argument that Tucker would be number one on the Memphis roster. And I think everybody would probably put him in the top 2 or 3. And so it's just like anything else. Like, you look at basketball teams, you know, who have lost players to this NBA draft that they're supposed to have, like Michigan is going to lose its top 3 scorers, not to mention its coach, but its top 3 scorers from that team that won 30 games last season and finished 6th at KenPom. If they were bringing back any one of those, they would be a different basketball team. Think of it in this term then. Memphis right now is supposed to have a guy on its roster who averaged, you know, more than 20 points per game, shot 41% from 3, 6'5", athlete, got size, can clearly shoot it, going to be an obvious starter. But what if he's not there? Well, then it's just like losing a starter from, you know, that you thought you were going to have. It's really no different than Michigan losing, Jordan Poole, or, you know, Auburn losing Jared Harper. Different players, but meaningful players. And so I do think that's been an aspect of this that hasn't been talked about or considered enough. He is not projected to be picked in the NBA draft. He did not, I don't think, get invited to the NBA draft combine. Those are all signs
Good
that
signs.
Should tell him you don't need to remain in this NBA draft, but he seems interested in doing it, and sometimes people do make decisions that aren't in their long-term best interest.
Last question. How weird is it? I've talked to you for now basically 35 minutes, and I haven't mentioned Zion Williamson in the lottery. Like, what would it take? Would it take Zion to knock Penny off the front page of, I mean, the proverbial, the hypothetical, the metaphorical is what I mean, front page of Memphis sports? Would it even temporarily? Like, would Ja Morant do it? It is amazing how this has been buried by University of Memphis basketball.
Yeah, it's, I think, buried mostly because it seems so unrealistic. You know, we don't spend every Wednesday discussing what it's going to be like if we win, Mega Millions or what, Powerball. You know, like, we don't
speak for yourself.
Yeah, like I don't call you and I go, hey Jeff, you know what tonight is, right? Powerball drawing. Well, what do you think? You know, we just sort of assume it's not going to happen. So I think people have sort of assumed it's not going to happen. But I looked it up this morning. 6 times since 1990, which is when the lottery changed, 6 different times teams with less than a 6% chance to get the number one pick got the number one pick. So it has happened. It's happened a bunch of times. And yes, if it happens tonight for the Grizzlies, and we know exactly what that means, which is Zion Williamson is on his way to Memphis, it changes everything. It changes everything locally.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.